so much for listening to the broadcast today. So let's welcome Sari Chauhan, CEO of Sheroes, a community for women, a mobile social networking site just offering women communities, connection, counseling, creativity, and also commerce. I think there are 500 million women who are in the Sheroes ecosystem already. Apart from that, which is my favorite part, is in this community, nobody is judging you, nobody is bullying you, and nobody is asking you, oh, you're a married woman, you're wearing this dress, and there's nothing happening of that sort, and nobody's taking your picture and probably morphing, and you have to be scared of it. It's a perfect community for women. Thank you, Sari, for being in the show, also for starting this whole beautiful community called Sheroes.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I love that you're building this community as well for product and for people who want to sort of build exciting things on the internet. So I'm grateful to be here. And yeah, thank you for the opportunity. And, you know, just to add to what you said about Sheroes, the whole idea of Sheroes is to say, hey, I believe that men build the internet pretty much for themselves. Who's building women's internet? So that's how we see ourselves. And also, I think we really need to put, you know, gender goals on the map, on the mainstream map, and not just be left to, you know, unilateral agencies or World Bank or governments. So that's how I think about it. And also, I think consumers want great products.
Of course, beautiful. I think it's a beautiful perspective. But Sari, my first question is this. So, women hate women. Is that true?
Well, you know, I think it's a myth propagated by the patriarchy itself because it works in their favor. You know, yeah, actually, if you double click on history, you will see that women have worked with women throughout history. So you can look at, you know, you can look at in India, the only time women have done very well is when they've existed in women-only communities or women-first communities, right?
Absolutely.
So it's Amul or Seva or mom groups or Anganwadi workers or Asha workers.
This Some political whole parties also with the combinations. Yes, I'm able to relate to a lot of incidents.
Yeah. So the truth is, if you look at facts, women thrive when they're supported by obviously the rest of the society, but women have done exceptionally well in women-only environments. I think this whole myth works very well because, look, a whole lot of the gender divide is three things, right? The right to resources, so owning land, gold, you know, other forms of assets, Wall Street, right? Who owns most of that today? Men do, right?
Men do.
A lot of patriarchy is fight over, you know, women's bodies. You know, why are abortion rights such a big political debate? Or why are, you know, whether, you know, it's you know, women's health conversations or conversations around safety or, you know, prosecuting rape accused. These are difficult conversations. And if you see, there is a whole lot of fight around owning women's bodies, right? And third is their own perceptions, their own voices about themselves. So when you say women don't help women, then you're sort of propagating a divide and you're sort of making women less confident about their own voices, their own groups. So it works in favor of patriarchy, but factually it's absolutely incorrect.
Absolutely. And I can so relate because you've been working in women communities for so long and I started a couple of years back. I think it just thrives together. I think women helping women really works out well.
Yeah,
but you know, but we still hear that why women hate women, you know, there's always a notion behind on. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a political overhang. It's a patriarchal overhang. But the truth is all of us have, you know, like, you know, when you run out of a sanitary pad in a, you know, in a situation when you don't have one, you never go to a guy, you go to a woman, even if you don't know that woman, right?
Yeah.
So whether, you know, whether it is, you know, a small situation like that, or a bigger situation like, let's say, a heartbreak, or you needing to sort of spend the night somewhere. We all actually get supported by women a lot. We haven't been trained to acknowledge it enough. Okay, whether it is women in our families, women in our workspaces, and look, also I think there is too much godliness expected of women. Women are human beings too. They are going to have competitive feelings. They are allowed to be aggressive. They are allowed to have a no smile face. They are allowed to be themselves. So that's also another patriarchal political expectation,
So,
right?
ladies, now you know all the idea and politics around why women hate women. Good.
Right. And I'm sure you faced it too, right? Like nobody got here because like they got pulled down by other women. The truth is there you're all every time somebody like you gets out there, becomes successful, you're also role model to so many women. And I think what hasn't happened enough of is constructive change, right? Like
Exactly.
every time we see, let's say, an Indira Nooyi, we feel proud that look, we have a chance to get there, right? There is somebody who paved the road. And I think the women's movement is still finding many of its firsts, right? US hasn't still had a women president, right? So there is still a long way to go there. As we, as women own more resources and do more wins to their, add more wins to their kitty, it'll all change, right? Because it's mainstream. We're not sort of fighting it from a place of insecurity that's been propagated by a very conservative school of thought. So it's politics, I would say, at the end of the day.
Beautiful. So, Sari, this question of, as men and women, we kind of graduate in a 50-50 or at least 40-60% from colleges
Right.
and in universities.
Right.
Like, I remember my recent college graduates joining companies. It was pretty much 50-50. Now I'm in my mid-career and I
Yeah.
also see the leadership from here. It's
Yeah.
very less women. Like, I can tell you, like, probably 15 to 16%, and especially on the startup space, women
Right.
entrepreneurs, everything is so less. Why do you
Right.
think this is happening?
Right. So look, I think again for men the paths are very clear, right? As they get a job and they stay with the job for the rest of their lives. And maybe that's also a burden they end up carrying. But women do a lot of emotional labor, which is never recognized, So he's right from small things like, if you're in a room and there's a cake being cut, the expectation is that the women will serve the cake, right? Nobody says it, but it invariably ends up happening, right? Because women are all, they're carrying it on their shoulders. The conditioning is such, everybody will be looking at them.
I
And
know.
that sort of manifests in many, many ways, right? The emotional labor of running families, khane mein kya banega, to what gifts will be sent for birthdays and weddings, to coordinating
They
vaccinations
give
for
you the term
kids.
home minister, just to make
Yes.
you feel
Yeah.
good.
Yeah, but you're doing all the work, and
I
not only
know.
that, it's not just the physical work, you're doing the emotional labor of this. So sometimes I talk to young product managers who, and it turns out that there are two people getting married, but one is doing all the work. Like it's the woman who's taken leave to sort of do all the shopping, and like her prep time is much more than his prep time. And I think this is sort of and it grows in its intensity, So when there's a child, or when there's a family issue or a caregiving issue, women just end up doing a lot more of that. And sometimes, very, very tacitly, it's not even like, it's kind of, bestowed upon them, or, it's a given that they will end up doing it. It's only now I see small pockets saying, okay, no, this is a common decision we all have to put in. But at a mass level, it's super difficult for women. And then, and then there are other things which sort of don't add up. Mobility issues, safety issues. We as women end up spending more money on on transport and safety than men ever do, right? Because we are always worried about how do we get by. So I think each of these things adds up over a period of time. And the pressure sort of, you know, I mean, everybody is a human being at the end of the day. They have to take these calls. And then, of course, I think there are many other factors, you know, gender pay gap, roles that women get sort of, you know, hired into, the pipeline of more, you know, women in tech or women in leadership. I think the same rule of women having to prove themselves on performance where men get proved on potential, right? These are all biases we all carry, and they manifest in these sort of data points.
Very, very, very true. I think it is
I'm sure
also a very profound answer.
Thank you. And I'm do you see this in your workplace? Like, do you see in you know in groups that you sort of talk to that you know women end up sort of falling off from middle of the ladder? Like, it just keeps getting thinner, right?
I know it is also because women take that, right? Like, for example, I was in a talk in Coimbatore, where it is a tier two city in Tamil Nadu, where women were talking about their struggles and, you know, how it's hard for them to come back to workforce and all that. So there was a woman who said, "Oh, my husband is so nice that he allows me to come to work even after my kid. He allows me that I can use my salary, 50% of my salary in whatever I want." I'm like, "Ready, that's your salary. You were supposed to be spending the whole 100% in whatever ways you want. And you should be working in however ways you want. I mean, who's he to allow you?" I understand both are equal, but you know, in workforce, women themselves kind of suffocate themselves saying that, "Okay, I am reserved only for this." You know, more than people saying, "Oh, it's a pay gap that we will give you only this." Women are also at times okay to take it. I think from it needs a little inner engineering as well.
It's a lot of look, it's a lot of conditioning. It's not happened today. It's happened over centuries,
Correct.
you know, and it's still you know, a lot of work to do because you know, the original the framework of patriarchy, you know, it's a political question, and you know, and therefore you will also see it manifest in you know liberal progressive ideologies versus conservative ideologies, where you know this is a given that hey you know this is how women expected to be. The onus of looking a certain way, the behaviors, these are all preconditioned settings, right? Some we are able to discard or question or maneuver, but we still end up carrying a lot of these ideas of you know gender in our own minds.
I mean, yes, that is very true, in that way. But I think when we come back to workforce, right? Like going back to the question that we have, at times women are finding it very hard to bring the husband or the other ecosystem into their world. They might be, you know, interested to come back to workforce. Like when I talk to some women, they say, "Who else will take care? I mean, I'm getting a salary of 35, 40,000 rupees. You know, I can't afford a full-time maid. Now who else will take care? I have an elderly care that I need to take care. I can't just give it to others. And how do I make my husband understand that it is important for both of us to take care? It's not like only my job, it's not just my kid. How do you bring them to in your world?"
I think you know, like I always say, this is a for anybody who's going to get married, this is a pre-marriage check, and you know these are questions to be asked before you get married to
Some
someone.
people who are already married without checking it. Sorry.
You know, these are real problems for a lot of women, and the truth is, most men are brought up in a way where they wouldn't sort of participate, you know, in caregiving or family responsibilities, or if they do, then they're babysitting their kids, which is, you know, the most silly thing I've ever
Absolute no.
heard. You know, like who babysits their own kids, right? So the whole idea of you know this conversation being a difficult one for most women, because that's not the the starting point of that conversation is not the day she's coming back, but it's also the texture of, the equation in the family. It doesn't matter who earns what, you're still part of that family, and everyone has to contribute. But these are not the this is not how the table is set, right? It's always set in favor of the guy. He's never potentially sort of maybe participated in owning anything at home, whether it's cooking or taking care of children or sort of anything else. And then when they have to really pitch in at a time like this, then they it's not on the table. It's not a conversation that will result to be an easy one. And a lot of women do not make it back to work because they have no family support. Or basically what happens is a lot of families will say, "Oh yeah, you can work, like we allow you to work, but you still have to do all the housework." So I mean, what are the odds that a normal human being can survive that?
It
It's
makes
still
them even more difficult. Think makes things difficult for women to get succeed. You have to walk on the water, do this, that. But for men, you can just walk on the road and get there.
Exactly. So the preconditions to succeed for women are very, very different. And and it's a lot of emotional labor to carry. And I think that's the whole idea, that how do we sort of get out of this? And these are conversation. This is why, the whole idea, for example, this woman, if she had a group of women who she could talk to, because all of us have gone through the same conversation. It's not the only the only the intensity varies and the texture varies, but it's at heart the same issue. So therefore, you need to talk to more women who've gone through this. You need more ideas, and you also need somebody who will cheer for you to say, "Hey, check in on you." Nobody checks in on women. There is no me space. All the spaces are husband and family and your workspace or whatever. Where is their own space to grow? And that's really, really important, So the idea to say, "Hey, you can anchor yourself here and you can get the support you need," it changes your own level of confidence, right? We look, a lot of success is us owning our own confidence, right? Saying, "I have the ability to do it and I will make it work." But we all need somebody sort of, silently watching us and saying, "Hey, we are here," So I think that's really important. Most women don't have it, and unfortunately our families are like the worst suited to provide us that support at critical junctures, especially coming back to work or taking on a difficult project in your career or things like that. Some do, but it's not the case for like a majority of women.
Oh, somebody is saying this now. Finally, I'm very happy. I'm going to sleep in peace. So somebody to just make that point and say, yeah, it is something. Somebody, because the one person who's going to take care of you is you. And most of the time that's missed. Oh, they don't give me that opportunity. My husband doesn't kind of give me, doesn't keep me happy. You don't need another person to keep you happy in any ways, be it career or in your personal life. I think that's again one thing that keeps coming up with women. I think we should help ourselves start at least now. I can.
Absolutely. And bank on other women. Look, I think, like I always say, the truth is, if you see a successful woman, chances are there are many women sort of holding her fort. And it in many forms. It could be a boss, it could be peers at work, but it also could be your babysitter and yes, and the person
True.
who cooks for you and the person who sort of your neighbor you can leave keys with. So it's a lot of women who are holding fort out there for you, and that's your support system, and I always say, like, in the best investment you can make for career success is having a support system. Think of yourself as CEO of your life, and every CEO needs like a lot of support, right? Run on time and do things and the way they should be done. And I think everyone needs a support system too.
So, Sally, I'm going to take a side on men and I'm going to ask you this question. Why do we need women-only communities? We don't have any men-only communities. Like, for example, when we start this women in product, like we do not have a men in product at all. Why do you ladies want a community all the time separately for you and have Women's Day celebrated so
Right.
glorified way?
Right.
So you're gonna tell me the answer of why it needs to
Yeah,
be women
it's
only most of the times.
actually, it's a very simple answer, and the answer is in the data. You know, it's nothing to do with men or women. I promise you, if men were as minuscule in product as women are today, we would be having men-only communities. Okay. So, and same for, look, rest of the internet is basically 80% men, talking about gaming and pornography and stock markets and, things they care about. But look, women have aspects of their lives that needs attention too. And yes, men and women are wired differently, and we got to make our with that, right? Like, the truth is, yes, women will menstruate every month, women will have children, women will also carry this emotional labor. And at the same point, we still want to sort of get where we can in our careers. We still want to own more wealth. And of course, the fear of judgment, right? She's too passive, she's too aggressive, or she's married, or she's not married. Whatever your label, you're still going to get judged. So I think things stack up differently for women. And the reason, women only needs to exist is because it's our support structure. It's where we sort of go out and check in on other women, but we also get ideas and our community and learning, and that's really, really important. And the other reason I think this whole idea of women only is very, very important is for most men, life is very demarcated. It's, work is work and home is home. But the truth is, when a woman walks into a room, she's carrying all of her life there. It's all of herself.
Bringing the whole self there.
There's work, there's family, there's support, there is, her aspirations. And it's a slightly more emotionally mature way of being, because it's but it also needs a it needs a different construct. So if you see why women only communities work, or why they've succeeded, that's why they've succeeded, because these communities end up becoming your anchor posts. They've started becoming your mentor circles, and they're also your fun circles, they're also your BFFs, and that's also where you make money. So it's a lot of things sort of rooted in together. And I think, look, if gender numbers were sort of stacked differently in women's safety and women's health, SDGs didn't exist, these things would be treated very, very differently. But the fact remains, it hasn't happened today, right? We are not there yet.
Very good. I think that's the right answer, guys. So we are having the Women's Day this year as well. So, sorry, this question is about the entrepreneurship. So you've
Right.
been an entrepreneur pretty much all your life, if I'm not
Yeah,
wrong.
that's right.
It's always seen as a little bit of risk. For example, from a 9 to 6 job, moving to an entrepreneur is a big step. It's a huge step, right? Especially for a woman, again, with debts and responsibilities and plates to feed. I think it is becoming another big question of, hey, when I talk to people, then they say I want to become an entrepreneur. They'll be like, keep telling that for years together, but nobody becomes one because of the fear and what is there. So being a women entrepreneur in India, how is it and how one can become one?
So I think it's interesting, because I've been an entrepreneur all my life, and the reason I'm one is because I always say, who'll give me a job? So I think it's better off this way. But I also feel, in some ways, entrepreneurship is far more flexible, and it's also, you just have a bigger room to play. It's risky. You're more likely to fail, and one has failed, but at the same time, you just have more room to play. You have a canvas that you can paint on. But I do feel that women are by nature by design entrepreneur. Whether they call themselves an entrepreneur or not is a different thing, but all women are entrepreneurial. And I think we just need to sort of like scratch that surface, and it's right there. It's not very far, down the surface. And look, I think today entrepreneurship is kind of given. Whether you're within a company or outside a company, we all need to be entrepreneurial to sort of grow and survive. Except that when you're in a company, you have different set of resources. They have a little more predictability. When you're sort of on your own, then you obviously have to sort of fight all battles. But there is also an upside to that, right? There's an upside to creating products you love, to building fastest learning curve. There's the steepest learning curve that there is. So there is an opportunity as well. When women become entrepreneurs, and I see more women becoming entrepreneurs now. I mean, for a long period of time in my life, I've been the only woman in the room, and it still happens sometimes. It's 2020, but the truth is, there are far more women who are owning entrepreneurship because the environment for becoming an entrepreneur is also more conducive now. There are playbooks, and there's a lot more ecosystem to support you. So I think if you have an idea or you want to build something, you should go ahead and do it. Because even if you fail, you would have learned so much that you would never sort of you would never do that if you didn't try it. So you got to give that shot. And there's look, if you have a job today and you do a company or you do a startup, you can always come back to a job. That's not going to be a hard
Any
thing.
stopper.
So yes, so there's practically, there's you have nothing to lose there.
Absolutely. So sorry,
Well,
we have to definitely talk about the biased conversations. It might look like a
right.
silly thing, but I think it's definitely an elephant inside the room. So
Right.
how women can, stop somebody from giving a biased conversation, biased talk, because when you're a fresher, you can't be talking too much. And there, like you said, there are quite a lot of playbooks and templates on how a woman
Yeah.
should behave, talk, and not be so pushy, not be so aggressive,
Yeah.
in every single ways that we can think of. But how can we stop this biased conversation? Because it is kind of subconsciously disturbing all of us, right? Like I remember one of
Right.
my boss, like the first time when I went to the US, when the plans were
Yeah.
all set, he asked me like, "Hey, your daughter is going to be all alone, and how are you going to plan the whole thing? She's just 7 months old." I'm like, "My husband traveling left, right, center ever since."
Nobody's
Nobody's worried.
involved.
I don't think anybody's even asking him this question. But when it is me, it is definitely a question of how are you going to manage it. Of course, there are, physically there are needs and, things which I will work out. Obviously, I can take. But this question been traveling with me even now when she is 5 years old. That's my concern.
Yeah, I know. So look, I think the bias is for real. And the only way to fight bias is to be you, is not to give in to the bias and to call it out. I think more and more of this conversation needs to happen. And one way to fight bias is to share what you experience with other women. Because, all of us have the same experience, You're not the only woman who's ever been asked this question, right? And it's happened to all of us. But the more you call it out, and the more you sort of not normalize it, the better it gets, So, like my daughter's 12, and I know that she's far more conscious about these things than I ever was, right? For me, this journey started much later. And if you start talking to your daughter about these things today, for her, she'll never normalize bias. She will make sure that she calls it out, right? She'll sort of make memes and sarcastic comments about it, but it needs to be called out. And it also every woman should have the freedom to be herself, right? So that's I think it's amazing that we're still fighting for our place to be us, and the more we are us, the better it is. The more we need to normalize being us. We've All of us have tried to fit in, to carry expectations, to carry the fear of being judged. I mean, I don't know a woman who's not carried this fear of being judged. smaller situations and in bigger situations, and what will people say, and how will I be perceived? These are for real. These fears are for real, and they exist, and then you'll be called out. And at the same time, I think seeding of these conversations start at home, right? And of course, in workplaces. So it's a process, but if we continue to sort of cheerlead women who are being themselves, I think we'll end up normalizing a lot of this as we go forward. And look, this is not something that'll get done in a day, but there's a ripple effect to it. So I see it's something that we all need to work on by just ourselves, just bring all of yourself to the
Correct.
room.
And when you're talking about this, I'm also getting reminded of this point, right? Because we've been always told to behave in a different way. After a point, especially after the mid-career and all that, women become more aggressive. Some women, they want to act like men. To me, acting like a man is like a waste of a woman. They become that. They think that this is how people are going to respect me. Only if I am going to behave in a certain way, not respecting anyone, being aggressive, not smiling, they artificially make it. If that is your trait and if that is something that you are, it's fine, but you don't have to become somebody to really gain that respect. You can be that sweet woman. If that is you can just continue that. People will respect for what you are.
Look, I think that's the whole idea. We also need to sort of, drop some of these judgments to say you can be a woman who doesn't smile. I think the burden on women to smile is too much. To
You.
be nice is too much. Exactly. You can
Absolutely.
be you, and some of us are not going to be, nice and pleasant ones. Some of us are going to be, badasses, or some of us are just
I think it's a human thing. It has nothing to do with men or women. As Homo sapiens, we are designed in this different way. I agree. Probably a man can take a tire and then put it on the top. He does. That's fine. I can't do it, and I'm absolutely fine with that too. You can't compare these things, which are very basic on how a human should behave. Just because you are a woman, you have to behave in a certain way. That's a little silly.
Absolutely. So look, I think, I would sort of not worry about these things too much, because I think everybody's trying to cope, and to sort of as the higher you go, the lonelier it gets for men, right? Because you're sort of they aren't a lot of women in that room, in most leadership rooms, there aren't a lot of women. So you basically become one of the boys, because that's where you're hanging out, and there's not much room to fight it out there, right? Like you're there for a purpose. You're in the C-suite. You really need to sort of, get the job done, because otherwise the burden of failure is yours to carry. And it's not just yours to carry, it's for all women to carry, So I think I would sort of not worry about it too much. It's just a coping mechanism.
Let's not worry about it too much. So let's be ourselves and focus on something which is very important than, what people are telling about me, talking about me. That's so beautiful, Sari. Thank you so much for being with us in the show and giving very candid answers about everything that I asked you, quoting the experience from your own life as well. Thank you so much again.
Thank you. Thank you so
And all the very
much.
best for Shiro's. And we are in a lot of communities. I am like in a community called cooking, writing, and all that. That's beautiful. I
Lovely.
think women who are listening to this podcast should definitely download Shiro's and see how it works and changes your life, because the people around you 90% design your life, 90% design your thinking. That's most important. Thank you so much,
Thank
Sari.
you.
Again, bye bye.
Thanks, Adnan. Thank you. Bye.